Have your Bibles. We want to turn to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 15 for Bible reading. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 15. It's a well-known portion. We're going to read from verse 11 of the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his liberty. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring thither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Just have a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the preaching of the gospel tonight. Father in heaven, we ask for help now to preach the word that you have laid upon our heart. I pray the gospel will be preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. We thank you, Father, that the gospel is your ordained way of saving the lost. But please God that through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I pray by grace you'll give faith tonight to those who are in this congregation, still in their sin, still under, Lord, thy wrath. Give them grace tonight to believe and to turn from sin and to come to Christ. Fill us all with thy Spirit. Give me special help to preach this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The text is found in verse 13. Of this chapter, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and then it said this, and took his journey into a far country. And he took his journey into a far country. I don't believe it tonight that anyone in this meeting would argue with this fact, that the biggest curse in this world is sin. It was Matthew Henry, that great commentator, as he looked upon the world, as he said in the subject, he said, sin has turned the world upside down. Indeed, we'd have to say tonight that sin coming into this world, it has destroyed everything. Everything that God made, and all His purity, and all of His beauty. Now, we only have to look into the Bible, and we'll see this. If you and I would look into paradise tonight, we will see man corrupted. Because there in the beginning of the Bible, we see Adam and Eve created, holy and pure, walking with God, having communion with the Lord. Then what happens is this. Sin is brought into their lives. Sin is brought into the world. And everything is so different. Adam now is naked. Adam now is sinful. Adam, instead of walking with God and loving God and communing with God, he's hiding from God. Why is this? because he's now corrupted. He is not pure. He is not holy. He's not the man that God made. What a difference sin has made. We think of that text in Genesis 6 in verse 11 in the days of Noah. It says the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And notice those words. The earth was corrupt. What was God speaking about? He was speaking about man. And God's eye fell upon the human race. He saw something in their life. He says, well, the earth was corrupt before God. They were maybe not corrupt before themselves. I think it's something like today. Does the human race think that we are corrupted? Not a bit of it. But before God, corrupted. You see, dear friends, when I look into paradise in the early days, we see that man is corrupted. What did it? Sin. When I look at Paul's preaching, we see their captivity. Because the Apostle Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 20, right into the church of Rome, for when ye were, he said this, servants of sin. And the word servant means slaves. And he's writing to these Christians who were now saved and changed by the power of the gospel. And he says, well, there was a time in your life ye were servants of sin. You see, sin has made man captives of sin. We see their captivity. The Lord Jesus said that in John 8 verse 34. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, or the slave. I was talking to a man the other day who's an alcoholic for many, many years. And he was saying, well, I'm born like this. And I told him, well, that is not true. Of course you're born in sin. But I told him the reason that you are an alcoholic is because you started a drink and you liked it. And then it gripped you. And you know when he told me his story? It was true. He stole his first drink. He said, I liked it. And friends, it gripped him. It holds man in sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. We see man's captivity, you see. When I look into perdition, we see their condemnation. In Revelation 21 verse 8, but the faithful and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And this is what sin does. Oh, dear friends, the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. But here is the end result of sin. The wages of sin is death. And when I look into perdition, I see man's condemnation. The lake of fire and brimstone. God doesn't mince his words, dear friend. And if you're not saved tonight, this will be your end. The lake of fire and brimstone. And I can see something of the awful effects when I look at sin. When we look into paradise, when we look at Paul's preaching, when we look into perdition, we see their condemnation. But when we look at this parable, we see something. Sin does something else. It does this. It takes a man into the far country. In other words, it takes a man far away from God, or a woman. Here we have, perhaps as Charles Dickens says, the finest short story ever told. A young man rising up against a loving father, and he demands that the father gives him his inheritance. And we see him coming into his father. His father loves him. His father doesn't want to see him leave home. His father doesn't want to see him going the way of the world. He doesn't want to see him going into sin. But this young man, in his rebellion, he rises up against his father. And he comes into his father, and he says in verse 12, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, he demands it. And I see with heavy heart the father gives it to him. But notice says, not only his demand, his departure. Because it says he gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. It was not enough, friends, to go to the next town or the next village. No, what happened was this. This young man sinned against his father, and he went away, and he went away, and he went away into the far country. because sin takes a man away from God. And this young man went in to the far country. And we were saying tonight, I have wondered what far away from God. Sin puts a man in the far country. He gathered up all his belongings. He put them onto the broad of his back. And away he went. Where to? The far country. So I want to speak tonight about life or living in the far country. And I want to say, first of all, I want to look at his life in the far country. Because verse 13 says he took his journey into the far country. And I say, first of all, his life in the far country, that is a wicked life. Because it says there in the verse 13, he took his journey into the far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And so I see immediately this young fellow living in the far country, far away from home, far away from his father, and we see his life, something about his life, or the nature of his life. And I see here, well, what's he doing? He's living a wicked life. Rat is living. In Titus 1, verse 6, you have that same word, riot. Riot, you see. You see, this is the sort of lifestyle he lived in the far country. He lived a terrible and a wicked life. Anything went in the far country. Indeed, when you think of this word, there's no restraint on him at all. He's behaving like a madman, lusting for pleasure, lusting for sin. There was drunkenness and swearing. And do we see this young man living in the far country? A wicked life. The Bible describes it, riotous living. Riotous living. Now imagine someone passing through the country and they see this young man and they know him. Maybe they're making a journey and someone is passing through and they know this young man. And dear friends, they heard his language. They saw his life. They wouldn't have believed what they saw. They would have said, is this a young man that was brought up in the godly home? Is this a young man that was taught the word of God? Is this a young man who used to work hard on his father's farm? I said, that's him. That's a young man who left his father. That's a young man who went away from the father's house. Look at him. Living in wickedness. Living, dear friends, in sin. Verse 30. With harlots. He's living like a monster. In the far country. You see, life in the far country, friends, is a wicked life. This is what he did. And the sinner, can I say, unsaved, your sin has put you in the far country, spiritually speaking, like this young man. I've no doubt tonight that there are some people in this congregation in the far country living a wicked life, living in sin, devouring their substance with harlots perhaps, drunkenness, immorality, swearing, blasphemy. You weren't taught like that. You weren't brought up like that. But you're like this fellow in the Bible. In the far country. This is a terrible and a wicked world. Everyone here tonight would agree with that. Think of those three people who were battered to death just recently. At the weekend there in Manchester. In Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And when God looks down, he sees man living in the far country, living in sin, living in rebellion, far away from him. And God saw the wickedness, living a wicked life. Is that your life at the moment? Unsaved in this meeting, wicked life, living in the far country, far away from Christ, living in sin. See, life in the far country, when you're away from God, you live wickedly. Breaking the laws of God, breaking the commands of God, rebelling against Christ. If you're not saved tonight, this is a description of you. Maybe you say, well, I don't go into pubs or clubs or gambling houses and immorality. Listen, friends, still a wicked life. Not saved. You're in the far country. It was a wicked life. It was a wasted life. Because it said there in verse 13 that he wasted his substance. The word wasted means to squander. You see, it's a wasted life down in the far country. He wasted his talents. Maybe this young fellow was brought up with a faith. I do not know. Maybe he was a good shepherd, a good farmer, a good tiller of the ground. Maybe he was good with a hammer or a saw. He was a carpenter. I do not know. But I do know this. When he went to the far country, he wasted all his talents. There he was, down, drinking, immorality. He wasted his talents. He wasted his time. What a waste of time it is to run after sin. There's some of us, when we look back at our life, we used to spend a day in the pub. No bother. Hours in the pub. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of talents, a waste of time, and a waste of treasures. Throwing all money down the drain, you see. This is what this young fellow was doing. It was a wasted life. And I have no doubt there are people in Kilkeel. And dear friends, it's a wasted life. And if you're living for the world tonight, if you're living for pleasure, if you're living for sin, well, it's a wasted life. The Apostle Paul said of his life in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, this is a profitable life. I've lived my life, he says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That was a profitable life. But the wee lads was wasted. We'll be not singing tonight, I've wasted many precious years. And some people tonight not saved in this meeting. They say, no, I should have been saved perhaps years ago. But you've wasted. You're wasting your life. You're like this young man here, wasting your talents. The Lord could use you in this church. Wasting your time, wasting your treasures, throwing your money, perhaps some people here tonight, into drink, into gambling, into drugs. There are many people like this. You see, it was a wasted life. He wasted his substance. Are you wasting your life, friends? I wasted my life for many years before I got saved. You see, life in the far country was a wasted life. But can I say something else? It was a weary life. If you look at this parable closely, you must see much joy in it apart from the end of it. You see him leaving home. Is there much joy in that? I don't believe it. His father would have been weeping. We see him coming into the far country. We see him following a course of sin. We hear his language, we see his life, but there's no word of joy in this. There's no word that he was happy in this. No. He's sitting among the pigs. Sitting among the pigs, perhaps. There he is, in the far country. And dear friends, he's sitting down now among the pigs. He was sent in verse 15 to feed the swine. Go and tap him on the shoulder. Go and ask him, is he happy? I tell you this, friends. Ask him when he was in the pubs and the clubs and in sin to the neck. Are you happy, young man? Does the world make you happy? Does sin make you happy? Does it bring joy to you? He would have said no. It's a weary life. You know, the Bible says, friends, in Proverbs 23, verse 29 to 30, who hath woe? Who? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Who hath woe? What? Who has sorrow? What happiness? Who has it? Those in the pubs and the clubs. I have seen this in the streets of England and London when I was in London. At times I saw people on the streets. You could see they had a weary life. I want to say, you don't have to go to the streets of London to see this. You see it in the streets of Kilkeel. I had a street early yesterday morning and I saw a fellow sitting on the side of a street and he just looked cast down and nothing and everybody hood over his head and there he was sitting. Lost. You see, it's a weary life without Christ. It's a hard life. The Bible says the way of a transgressor, dear friends, is hard. Are you weary of living in the far country? Oh, maybe some says tonight, I enjoy my sin. I enjoy the pubs and the clubs and the discotheques. I enjoy it. But let me tell you tonight, there's a day coming you'll not enjoy it. You'll find us weary. You'll find us weary. You haven't found it yet, but you'll find it's a weary life. You'll find it's a hard life. And we were singing tonight, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. What? I'm tired? You'll get tired of it, you'll find. It's hard living, dear friends, in the far country. The hymn said, my heart is sick. My heart is sore. Is that you tonight? You fed up with the world. I heard of a young fellow, goes to another church, not this church, and he's telling someone, he says he's fed up with it all. Fed up with the booze. Fed up with the clubs. Fed up with the sin. Fed up with immorality. And all of it. It goes with it. He's finding out life in the far country is a weary life. And so will you. That was his life in the far country. Summed up, a wicked life, a wasted life, and a weary life. Does that describe you tonight? Is there a young girl here tonight, in a sense, has left their father's house? Is there a young man here tonight who's not saved, and you've left your father's house, and you went out into the world, and out into sin? Is this your life? Wicked, wasted, and weary. That was his life. And that's the description of your life tonight. Without Christ. Life in the far country. I want to look secondly at his loss in the far country. A reading of the parable reveals that while this man dwelt in the far country, that he lost many, many things. He lost his respect. Because in verse 30, he devoured his living with harlots. And he lost it, you see, friends. News came back to the father, to the family's home, how he was living. And his brother said, this is how he's living. This is the man who went down to the far country. And he devoured his whole living with harlots. You see the people pointing the finger at him? Smirking, laughing. What he was doing. He'd lost any type of respect. He had it all. Any degree of respect. He'd lost it all. He had lost his finances, because in verse 14, he spent all. All that the riches his father gave him, all of his inheritance. I don't know how much it was, but I would say it was a large amount. But he spent all of it. All his finances was lost, where? In the far country. He lost his friends. Verse 16 is very, very sad, sad words. No man give unto him. I ask the question. Where's all his friends now? Where are the people who went to the parties with him? Where are the people that he fed with drink and perhaps food? Where are the harlots? Where are all his so-called friends? No man give unto him. He didn't have a friends. He lost them all in the far country. He looked around to the right and to the left hand side. He looked all around them. And there was no man. He had lost them all. He had lost his fellowship with his father. In the far country he was away from his father. Therefore he had lost communion with his father. It's not like today, of course, a telephone. And so on. Speaking to his father in his time of need. Looking to his father for instruction. No, there's no mention that a word passed between his father and his son while he lived in the far country. He missed this communication with the father. He missed the compassion of his father, the love and the care that the father would give unto him. All these things he threw aside when he went into the far country. He lost the fellowship with the Father. The one who loved him the most, he had lost him. And the same thing happens to the sinner, can I say tonight, as they dwell in the far country. Many lose their respect. Many go out at the weekend and get drunk and commit acts of sin that the next day they're ashamed of. Perhaps afraid to show their face out in the community because what they've said or what they have done. Because they're full of booze. They do some bold thing. Perhaps urged on by the crowd, they do something. Perhaps in the secret place. But lose their respect. In Jeremiah 3, verse 25, they said, "We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God." And they were talking about their sin, but they talked about their shame, because, dear friend, there's a shame that comes with sin. And there are people that they're ashamed tonight of the life that they're living, and the things that they have done, and they have lost their respect. They lost their finances. There are people tonight who've lost their home, lost their money, lost their business, lost their family in the far country. There's much to lose in the far country. And there's people who've lost all of these things. Proverbs 21 verse 17, "He that loveth pleasure shall be what? A poor man." That's what the Bible says. He'd be a poor man. He loves pleasure. He runs after pleasure. Yet the Bible says, well, he shall be a poor man, because living in the far country can take away all of your riches. Drinking and gambling. We see it in this town. Sometimes I go through the town and I see a man coming out of a gambling shop. And I said to one of my daughters taking him to work, I said, "Just watch that man. He's running straight to the pub. Just watch where he goes." And there he went into the gambling shop, and 2 feet away he went, and into the bar. You see, friends, wasted, losing his finances, gambling and drinking, you see. But there's a greater loss, the loss of your soul. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 36, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That's the greatest loss that one can lose. Living in the far country. Living in sin. Living far away from God. You can lose your soul. And I say to you tonight, you have lost maybe finances. You have lost your respect. You can lose your soul. It's dangerous to live in the far country. To be far away from God and to be living in sin, you can lose your soul if you're not saved. You continue in sin. You die in your sin. And you'll be punished for your sin. And friends, that's the greatest loss of all. By living in a far country, you can lose your friends. Have you lost friends? Have you lost the friendship of your father? Have you lost, young person, the friendship of your mother? Or husband, your wife? Or wife, your husband? Or vice versa? Whatever. Have you lost friendship? Why? Because you're living in the far country. Communications that once were, well, full of love and joy. Families now divided. Because you have decided, I'm going to the far country. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. I want to live in sin. I want to live in pleasure. I want to live for the world. You've lost your friends. You've lost your best friends. There's young people going to a far country and they lose their father, their mother, the friendship. And that's our best friends. The truest friends. The one who loves them the most. And I said, any young person tonight, are you in the far country, you have broken relationships? because they're living in the far country. All we little sheep have gone astray. I've done it. All of us in this meeting has went to the far country. Didn't take advice. Is that you tonight? Listen, you lose your friends. But you've lost fellowship with God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 verse 2, but your iniquities are separated between you and your God. What? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You've lost fellowship with God. Friends, what a loss that is. You're losing the communion with God. You've lost the compassion of God, the love of God, the care of God. Why? Because you're living in the far country. You're far away from God. And you're missing a great blessing. Loving Christ and following Christ. Having, dear friends, the fellowship of Christ. But see, when you live in the far country, you lose all this. You're far away from God. Are you far away from God tonight, young person, in this meeting? I have wandered far away from God, said your testimony. Look what you're losing. Your respect, your finances, throwing your money into sin and pleasures of the world. Losing your friends and your fellowship. Losing your fellowship with God, you see. That was his loss in the far country. There's nothing to gain by living in the far country. There's nothing to gain by living far away from God. I want to say tonight to everyone in this meeting, young and old alike, there's everything to lose by living in the far country. Because you'll lose your soul. And you'll be punished in hell for all eternity. If you continue living in the far country. This was his loss in the far country. And I said lastly and quickly, his leaving the far country. Can I look at the cause of his leaving? Well, the cause of his leaving is verse 17, when he came to himself. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. And the cause of his leaving was this. He thought about his father's house. He thought about all the people. He thought about all the servants in the house, and all the father's provision, how they were all been looked after. And he looked at his father's house, and he looked at the people in the house, and he looked at himself. And he said, I perish with hunger. You see, he thought about the father's house. He thought about the father's heart. Because he says there in verse 18, you find the word, my father. My father. His dad was still his father. Even though he was in the far country, he knew that his father was still his, that still cared for him, that was still forgiven, that there was mercy in the father's house, you see. He started to think about home, friends. He started to think about his dad. That was the cause of his leaving the far country. His conduct in leaving. You see his rising in verse 20. And he arose. I see him standing in his feet in his sin and his shame. And he says, Father, I'm coming home. I've had enough of the world. I've had enough of the sin. I've had enough of living in the far country. He says, I'm coming home. You see his separating. He looks at the pigs. He looks at the people. He looks at the pleasures. And he says, I'm leaving it all, friends. I see his confessing, because he said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'll just go and tell him what I've done. I know I've been a bad fella. I know I've taken the inheritance. I know I've wasted his substance. Well, I'll just go, well, I'll be honest with my father. I'll just tell him. I'll just confess it all. You see, friend, this was his conduct in leaving. His rising, his separating from it all, and his confessing. You see, the consequences of his leaving, well, verse 20 tells us. What was it? The father's kiss. Because as this young man was making his way home, it says, when he was yet a great way off, do you see? His dad was looking for him. Every day.
He looked down that road to see who was coming, and he looked this day, and here was this figure, this filthy figure, lonely figure, coming up the road. And he says, well, it's my son, it's my son. And it says here that he ran and he ran and he ran and he threw his arms around them and he kissed them. Didn't say he kicked them. Maybe some of us would have done that. He got the father's kiss. And in the Greek, if keep means continue, he kept on kissing him. He kept on holding him. He kept on hugging him. My son, my son. And he was confessing to his father, oh, my son, I'm so glad that you've come home, you see. These are the consequences of leaving the far country. He got the father's kiss and the father's kindness. The father forgave him. The father's provision. A great party was even held by the father. He said, this is my son, which is dead, is alive again, was lost and is buried. And they began to make merry. Oh, friends, do you see him leaving the far country? The cause of his leaving, the conduct in his leaving, the consequences in his leaving, the father's kiss and the father's kindness, the father forgave him. Everything he did, everything that he said, was all forgiven. And he was brought into the home. He was clothed with a ring and shoes and a new robe upon him. Hands. And they began to be merry. And in that dear sinner, can I say to you tonight, this is what you've got to do to be saved. You've got to leave the far country. You've got to repent. And maybe you've been thinking recently about your soul and thinking about your father's house. In other words, God's house. Thinking how happy God's people are, the peace and joy that they have, and how God can save your soul. You've been thinking about these things. Maybe you say, well, you know, I perish. If I continue to live in this land of sin, I'll die and be damned. Maybe secretly, quietly, in your heart and in your mind, you've been thinking this way. Maybe you see something about the Father's heart, His love to you, how He sent His Son into the world and to die and to shed His blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all sin. Maybe you started to think about the gospel. Think about the love of God. Think about the love of Christ, you see. You see, these things happen before you're saved. But friends, you must leave the far country to be saved. You must separate from it. It says, and he arose. You must do the same. You must say, I'm leaving this. I'm leaving my friends. I'm leaving the pubs. I'm leaving the clubs. I'm leaving the world. I'm leaving sin. I'm going to Christ. I want to be saved. And I want to say that you'll never be saved until you do that. You must repent from your sin and come to Christ. And I want to say tonight, if you do that, you'll be welcomed and you'll be saved. Remember Christ said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You'll receive spiritually the Father's kiss and the Father's kindness. And all your sins that you've committed will be forgiven because of the love of Christ. You see, his leaving the far country was the best thing he ever done. It was the best thing, friends, that he ever did in his life, leaving it. And he came home and he was kissed and he received kindness and he was brought into the Father's house and he began to be merry. He was happy to be home. If you come to Christ tonight, you'll be a happy person. All your sins forgiven and saved. And on your way to heaven. But you must come out of the far country. You must leave the far country. There must be this rising, this repenting, this separating from the far country and come to Christ. If you do that, you'll be saved. Would you do that tonight? I trust the Lord has spoken to your heart. I pray the Lord will cause you tonight to arise, to come and to separate from sin and to confess your sins to Christ and be saved by the grace of God, and if you do it, it'll be the greatest day of your life. Maybe you've been thinking about being saved. You want to speak with me? You speak with me or some of the elders. But you can do this yourself. Call upon the name of the Lord at home, even where you sit. Turn your whole heart to Christ. He will save you. He will cleanse you in His blood. He will give you everlasting life. You see, His leaving a far country. What joy filled His heart. What joy filled His home friends. Son was lost and was found. He was dead. He's alive again. They all began to be merry. I trust we'll all be merry tonight over the unsaved in this congregation, leaving the far country and coming to Christ. Will the Lord write His word upon all of our hearts. Amen. We're going to close our meeting in a wee word of prayer. If God has spoken to anyone, do feel free to approach us. And we'd love you tonight to really consider the things we've said and to come to Christ. Father, we thank you for this wonderful parable. We can never get tired of reading it, Lord, or preaching it. There's always a freshness about it. Remarkable story, revealing to us the love of God. And I pray that the unsaved heart has been touched tonight. And maybe some has found it difficult in the far country. Hard to give up that lifestyle. Maybe lies, deceit, and sin that goes with it. Lord, help them tonight to arise and to leave it and to repent from their sins and to trust Christ. Bless us all. Take us now our separate ways, Lord, until our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.